Hey guys, Dennis here with VOG Games. I'm joined by
Josh Chauveyers, all the way in South Africa.
Yes, and we're back, and you know, last week, you know, even though we had been gone for a few weeks, there wasn't that much news, and then now there actually is some good news, or a lot of news.
Yeah,
leading up to, you know, at the end of the week when we, you know, the Game Awards are going to happen, and then obviously we're going to cover that and talk about the winners and the show itself, and actually, what's more important than the winners is the trailers, right? I mean, that's just the fact. It's less important who wins Game of the Year, even though people love debating that. It's actually more important what trailers are actually be shown and what kind of projects that maybe we didn't hear about get announced.
Well, I think the trailers have been trumped, Dennis, by giving out a Steam Deck every minute. I think that's the I mean, I know I'm more excited about Valve giving out 100 Steam Decks during the Game Awards. Like, that's where my attention's going to be. I can tell you right now.
You're going to get mad because they're going to be like, oh, you won, but
shipping,
guess what? We don't.
US
we're not
ship.
Yeah, it'll be some crap like that. That's probably okay. You can ship it to me, and then I'll keep it here until
move
back to LA. All right. So a lot of stuff to cover. Let's start with the big one, right? Microsoft basically has announced that they are officially going to be raising the prices of their first party games from $60 to $70. This is all the next gen games, right? For Series X and S. This doesn't apply to Xbox One or whatnot. But this is following suit, and they're going to start this next year. This is going to follow suit with basically what Sony has already done, and what other I think did any PC games. Some PC.
I think the last Call of Duty didn't.
Okay.
I think the last Call of Duty possibly was $70. I could be wrong. It's just that Steam changed the regional pricing on Steam recently, and a lot of the games that used to be like, I wouldn't say affordable, but like affordable for a third world country, considering my country's economy, it was like a good price. Mm-hmm. Whereas they basically games have gone up in about 30% price out here, but it matches like the $70 price range. So we were paying about $70, $75 for the new Call of Duty. I don't know if it means it was $70. I think it may have been. I'm not too sure. Mm-hmm. But yeah.
So one, they aren't the first ones, but it is the first time Microsoft has done this. You know, I personally don't think it's that big of a deal. And the reason why is because I have Game Pass.
That's the first thing I thought of as well.
And I feel like most people, I think this is kind of a bigger deal almost to people who don't even like who don't even own Xboxes that are like shouting about this. Because if you have an Xbox, I mean, more than likely that you have Game Pass. And
you'd
if
be,
you
you'd
are
be dumb not to have it.
And honestly, if you're especially if you're interested in Microsoft first party games, there's no point in not having it. Because basically, what, two games, and then you're kind of like in the, let's see, at $70, right? Let's say you're paying for, you know, what is it, 15 a year? Yeah.
I mean, like a year subscription's about $60, right?
Yeah, but that's for the, I think, Xbox only, right?
That's for PC. I think it's
Game Pass for PC.
But
for whatever the price is, if you play two or more first party games for Microsoft, you're pretty much getting your money's worth. Anyways, yeah, I don't see it as that big a deal. If there was no Game Pass, I think it's a bigger issue. But also, the rest of the industry prices are also following suit. You know, basically saying, hey, you know, our cost of making these games are higher, so they need to charge more. Though, to be fair, back in the day, the prices were between $50, $60, sometimes even $70, but those were cartridges. Cartridges were very expensive to make and to ship. And then they went
packaging,
to the whole...
Packaging as well, you know, like the holder for the cartridge as well, like everything involved. It's a lot of money.
And then they moved to like CD DVDs, which were less expensive, but still there was cost incurred. And now everything is mostly digital. I mean, yes, there are physical packages you can still buy, and they come on, you know, the DVD or, you know, Blu-ray worth of information, but for the most part, most of these sales are,
yeah,
are digital. $70, like I said, I'd be more upset if there was no Game Pass, but it's, you know, at the end of the day,
it doesn't affect us. Yeah,
it's not that big a deal, I guess. So Sony, Ubisoft, and Take-Two have already announced $70 price points, and Sony's already been selling.
Wasn't games. It for next gen only though?
Yes, it is for next gen only.
Yeah, next gen only.
So
yeah.
So I bought God of War Ragnarok, and I got it for $60 because I got it,
you got
for
it on
PS4,
yeah.
Not PS5 because I don't have a PS5. So yes, it is for next gen only.
You know what I blame this on though, Dennis? I blame this on the lack of innovation within the gaming industry. Because if you look at some of the biggest selling games of the past, like, 2 years, a lot of them were indie games developed by, like, a team of four people that got sold for, like, $10 or less. Or I think of Vampire Survivors. Dude, that's, like, a $3 or $4 game or something. That was, like, one of the most played games on Steam for weeks.
Yeah.
Beating massive AAA studios, you know what I mean? So I truly blame this on a lack of innovation. It's because these studios have to spend a seriously large amount of time and money developing something that may or may not make money. That's also why they're always going to build on existing IPs. No one's going to take, like, big studios don't take a chance on new IPs, you know what I mean? Like, the only people who are, like, ballsy enough to do that are people like Bethesda and, like, CD Projekt Red, you know, with Cyberpunk in that case. So I blame it to a lack of innovation, man. It's these AAA studios are stuck in a place where it's like they have to pump out these super high quality games and they can't really innovate around that because they can't take the chances to innovate. Innovation is a risk to them, you know what I mean? So that's kind of where it leads them off. Like, I get it. I get why they're doing it, you know what I mean? It sucks, but I get why they're doing it. You
but
know?
See, that's what
you never that's yeah, what's you never great know about, if your game's gonna bomb or not, you know.
That's what's great about Game Pass is so Microsoft they fund the big AAA titles, right? Like, Starfield's coming out next year, Redfall, you know, in the future we'll see the next Fable game and whatnot. And then for Game Pass, they just lease out the indie titles that you want to play. Like I said, this past year, what, Microsoft didn't have any big titles, right? Because last year it was Halo Infinite and Forza Horizon, which were totally awesome and totally worth having Game Pass for. But this past year was, you know, there wasn't these big first-party games, but it got supplemented by all these wonderful, like, indie titles. Or what would you call, where would you fit a Plague Tale Requiem? Right, like it seems triple A.
That's like double A. That's like double A. If double A is a thing, that's what that is, because that's still a big team of people.
Yes.
Like that's it. Basically, is a triple A game. It's kind of like the game that people make to make them a triple A studio.
Mm-hmm.
Like, people are gonna take, like, who made a Plague Tale Requiem? Who was the? Because I can tell you right now, that studio is getting way more recognition than they did before.
If Microsoft wasn't having all these issues with buying Activision Blizzard, they should buy.
They should,
buy a Plague Tale Requiem.
A Plague Tale, the first one did pretty well, and I know a few people that told me to, like, play it. But the sequel, A Plague Tale Requiem, it's doing so much better than the original. A lot of people are loving it. That studio's getting taken way more seriously now.
Asobo Studio, published by Focus Home. Asoba.
Yeah, they need to work on their branding, get a more readable, easier to say name, you know?
Yeah.
they need to work on that. But yeah. No, I'd say that's like a double A game, but it's basically a triple A game. The amount of effort and love that went into that was very triple A anyways.
So,
you know?
This is, I believe, a French game developer.
Yeah. I will say the sad thing about Game Pass, for someone like me who loves a lot of obscure indie, not just obscure indie games, but obscure games in general, is that a lot of the time I'll find these amazing games on Game Pass, play them, finish them, love them. And then every now and then I'll go to the leaving Game Pass soon page and I'll see them there and I'll get so sad because it's like, oh, I love that game. I love playing it. I'm glad I played it. But I was like, I was hoping to replay it again in the future, but now I'm going to have to buy it, you know? I had that recently where I looked at the games leaving Game Pass and there was like three of them that was near and dear to my heart. And I was like, aw.
But that's the whole thing about Discovery, though. Like I mentioned, The Ascent was one of my favorite games of, last year? I can't remember.
2021? I think it was. 2021, I think it was, yeah.
Yeah, and you know, I wouldn't have, I heard about it, but I don't know if I'd ever would have played it if I didn't have Game Pass, and I played it and it was awesome. So now, now I'm kind of open to this franchise, the studio, and everything. So anyways, so there's a kind of a side thing or side, story to this is Microsoft. Also, we talked about last week about the whole 10-year offer they supposedly gave to Sony, and Sony basically is trying to reject it. Now, this, I believe, is a good move PR-wise and business-wise, which is Sony says if they actually get Activision Blizzard, they will commit to 10 years on bringing Call of Duty to Nintendo. So this just is, it's kind of like
hilarious,
rubbing it right into Sony's face, like, oh, you don't want 10 years. I know someone else that will. Here you go. So it's like,
that's great, man.
So it's great for PR, and it's also great business wise because here's an area that, you know, was not being served, and they plan on serving it.
I'm curious about the execution, because the Nintendo Switch is a very, very like low end hardware. You know what I mean? It's not exactly screaming like look at like what you can push this Nintendo. I mean, the latest Pokemon game, God bless it. I still haven't got it yet, and I'm gonna get it because apparently the game is like, it's Pokemon. If you like Pokemon, you're gonna play Pokemon. So I'm gonna get the new Pokemon Scarlet. I haven't got it in it yet, but people were saying that there was some severe issues like graphical errors and things like that, because the Switch just couldn't handle it, like such a giant open world. But if it can handle like a big open world Pokemon, you think it's gonna handle Call of Duty?
No.
Like, I'm wondering if they're gonna have to make like a lower res.
Oh yeah, for sure. 100%.
They're gonna have to make, because I hope they don't do cloud gaming with this, because a lot of like, whenever a big game comes to Nintendo Switch, it's usually cloud gaming. Mm-hmm. And like, that is just, depending on where you are, it can be horrible or good. You know what I mean? Working on the whole cloud gaming streaming aspect of it. But I've played Fortnite on the Nintendo Switch, and it plays that okay, but it plays like a very watered down, almost mobile version. You know what I mean? Like it's much lower res. The graphics are way like watered down. So I'm assuming that's what it's going to be, because I can't for the life of me seeing any Call of Duty game running on the Nintendo Switch, even the older ones. You know what I mean? they're going to have to work on like a low res, super low quality version of the games to get that to run on there, unless it's cloud gaming, but I hope it's not.
Anyway, that's basically their intention. Like I said, it's a great PR move, because now these Nintendo fans will be like, well, yeah, come on, Microsoft, buy Activision Blizzard. Hurry up, you know? So now you're getting more people on your side that previously weren't.
I love these type of like PR slap in the face kind of things. I love it's so petty. I love it. I love pettiness. On this scale, pettiness is beautiful, man. This is fantastic. The thing is, you know, there's someone sitting at Microsoft at that like board of directors seat just power tripping so hard right now. Like, I'm sure he's living life, you know. Good for him.
Yeah. So anyways, that would be cool to see. We'll see how things go, because right now that whole battle over Activision Blizzard is a little strange for me, just seeing like Sony claiming, you know, why does Microsoft have all this exclusivity when they themselves have their own? You know, also Microsoft being, you know, what is it, third place in the market? It's like, I don't know. I think it's because of the history of Microsoft and everything, but it's like, It's very weird to hear about monopolies when it's coming, when you're talking about a third place.
But not just that, like even the very basis of how a monopoly works, you know what I mean? Like, you have to, the way a monopoly works is that like nobody else can get in on that game. Nobody else can get in on that action. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And the reason why it'll never be a monopoly is because They're not forcing you to buy an Xbox console to play these games. You can play it on a computer that's built by anybody. That's any brand or any company can make those. You know what I mean? You can, hell, some of these games in the future, you could probably buy through Steam, or you don't have to get it through the Microsoft store. You know what I mean? There's nothing closing off the rest of the world from getting involved with this. You know what I mean? Yeah. It's only shutting out Sony. That's it. Just one studio. You know what I mean? Like, it's at the very basis of what a monopoly is. It's just not.
Yeah, and there's also plenty of
first
games
or
on
second biggest. You know,
there's plenty of games on Sony that people want to play, but you know, you can't unless you have a PlayStation. I'm that's why I'm very glad that they're going to PC. Technically
Sony has a monopoly on fucking Kratos, you know what I mean? They technically have a monopoly, like nobody else. Yeah. Like, you know, you can't, like, well, now it's on PC, but before then, older, like, it's such a dumb argument to make about them having a monopoly, because it's like, technically, all exclusivity is a form of a monopoly, you know?
Yeah.
But hey, whatever. All right,
moving on, we talked about the Game Awards coming up this week. We already kind of, basically, the rumor had been that the next Jedi Fallen Order game called Jedi Survivor... Mm-hmm. It's been confirmed now that it is going to have a gameplay trailer at the Game Awards. So we're going to see that. They showed off this teaser key art, basically showing the main character, Cal Kestis. He looks
rugged.
Yeah,
he's looking rugged, man.
He's been through some things since we last saw him in the first game. So,
He looks through like he went through a pretty rough breakup. Broke the lease on an apartment.
Yeah.
Went through a pretty rough time. He's fighting himself again. Yeah. You know?
But also, there was a leak for the release date, which was March 15th.
Correct.
Which kind of goes in line with, you know, that one announcement that EA had planned on making a major game was going to be released before April 2023. And everyone thought it was Star Wars Jedi Survivor. And seems like that is going to be the case. So I remember the first game had been teased for a long, long time before it was released. This seems like a much shorter window. I mean, we all knew it was coming, but between when they officially announce it, which will be, you know, this not announce it, but show people the trailer this week to when it comes out in March. That's not a long period of time. That's about 3 months.
I think it's safe, though, because I think a lot of people are learning the risks of hyping something.
Yeah.
Hyping it too much or hyping it too like, rather hype something too little so that if it gets a negative, like, if people don't like it, you know, the feedback's going to be less. Mm-hmm. Never, like, overhype something or hype it too much. You know, like, No Man's Sky, overhyped. People, I refunded the game as soon as I got it because I was lied to. Now I'm an active player because, I'll be honest, they really made a big turnaround. Everything, like all the free DLC, they haven't released a single paid DLC since then. It's wonderful. But yeah, like, I think it's smart because it's also one of those things where, like, we live in an era where things are getting announced all the time. So it's like, if you had to announce this game now at the Game Awards and it only comes out like around a year later, people are going to forget about the hype. It's going to be difficult for you. You're going to have to pump in a lot of money in marketing to keep up the hype for the next year. Whereas, like, the amount of money you spend on marketing from December to March, minuscule. You know what I mean? Compared to like a whole year. So it makes sense.
To be fair, though, it works better with sequels, right? Because you already have that built-in audience and built-in fan base to help propel the hype. Like for example, Cyberpunk 2077, when it launched, there's no way you do that 3 months, you know, 3-4 months later, right? Because it's a brand new IP. Nobody's heard. I mean, everyone's heard of CD Projekt Red, but no one's heard of Cyberpunk 2077 before they announced it. So you got to get that ball rolling and build that hype for those new IPs. Yeah.
Maybe not the way they did, because they didn't announce that game.
That was way too long.
Five or six years before it came out or something. That was a long, long release date.
New IP, I feel like a year or two is fine. But if it's for God of War Ragnarok, it's like you don't need that much hype for it because everyone wants to play it no matter what. So. You don't need
That's
to go
true.
Crazy.
That is very true. Yeah.
All right. Let's move on to this next one, which is I accidentally opened a bunch of The Last of Us TV series gets a full trailer. We saw that teaser trailer. You and me, I think, reacted to it. Now there's a
really
full
enjoyed
trailer.
It, yeah.
Full trailer that came out. This premiere in January 15th. Man, so much stuff is coming so fast. Can you believe it's December? It's December 7th.
Man, what baffles me is that there's so much stuff coming out in December, even like just this month. There's so much stuff coming out, like regardless, like gaming, TV, movies, everything. There's so much coming out.
I watched Avatar: The Way of the Water, the second one, last night.
I think we're only getting it on the 15th out here in South Africa.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it's supposed to come out here.
I'm gonna go watch it. Yeah. Okay, cool. So, like, the same time. I'm looking forward to that, man. Yeah. No, there's so much coming out.
See it in 3D. No matter what, see it in 3D. with a big screen.
Dude, I can't.
Why?
I've tried. It's because you got to wear. I got to wear the 3D glasses over my actual glasses, and then there's like double glare.
You don't have contact lens.
No, I should get those because I'll be honest. I went to go watch Shang-Chi, which I loved.
Mm-hmm.
I watched it in 3D, and I had to literally, like, I got out of the cinema and I immediately went and I bought myself a ticket to go watch it in 2D
because
I was like, I love this, but everything was a blurry mess to me. What I mean? Then when it wasn't, it was like. I don't know. I had like double glare because of the two glasses, and yeah, I need to get contacts, man.
Contacts.
Yeah.
That's what I have. I have contacts. But anyways, like it looks amazing in 3D. Anyways, let's go back to The Last of Us. The full trailer is here. Looks great. We finally got to hear The Last of Us theme song at the very end. You and me had speculated that at one point we're going to see a full trailer that was going to be using the original theme song. But it didn't seem to be the case, but they did tack it on at the very, very end of this trailer. We saw little parts from the Left Behind DLC. My only concern, look great. Cast looks great. Sears looks great. The only concern I have, and I'm sure I'm probably just being a little paranoid, is that it's going to be too similar to the game. You know what I mean? Like, you kind of want, as someone who's played the game already, both games already, you kind of want to see something different. Like, similar but different. That's the whole thing. Because I remember when The Walking Dead came out, the first episode was, like, almost a beat for beat, like, kind of recreation of the comic book. But then it went and turned into its own thing later on. So I'm hoping that's
I think a lot of people would disagree with you, but I do think that you are right. Like, if it was frame by frame, that's the thing, is that's what people want. People want it to be frame by frame. I know this because they will tear it apart if it isn't.
Mm-hmm.
But if it is frame by, if they had to do it frame by frame and all the gamers are like, yay, we got this, they'd watch it and they'd be like, oh, I've seen this before because I've played this before.
Yeah.
So I completely agree. You want to see, like, not a whole different take on it. You don't want to change everything, but you know what I mean? You want to see it addressed in a different way, which thankfully, like, a lot of the characters haven't played the game, so they're not going to be copying the performances or anything like that, which is really good. I'm hoping they find like a nice part between like being frame by frame and like doing their own thing. I hope it's not too obvious either, like the Ghost in the Shell movie, where every time they did something that was from the original movie, they like did it in slow-mo. And it was like, look here. This is the shot from the 1993 movie. We're doing it in slow-mo, so you know that. I hate that, like spoon feeding. So, I mean, all in all, the trailer looks pretty good. You know, I think the acting is going to carry it regardless. Like, even if it is frame by frame, I think it'll be nice to see. It'll just be nice to see it in live action, you know, and act it out really freaking well.
Yeah, I just, because the performances already were fantastic in the game, you know.
True.
That I just don't, and it's not like I you know, I think Pedro Pascal or what's her name? Am I blanking her name? Is it Bella Ramsey? Like, I think they're gonna do a fantastic job. I just want to see something that's, you know, true to the core of what The Last of Us is, but with some variation, so that we don't, you know, basically see a live action frame for frame reproduction of the game. So,
you know, I agree. I think it'll be good. I don't think it would be too much money to try to do frame by frame,
you know?
Like, they'll be like, they'll reference the same, like the plane crash and things like that, like the intro to the game, like compared to what we saw in the teaser before, like they'll do things like that where it's very similar, you know, but doing it frame by frame would just cost them too much anyways.
Yeah.
I have high hopes for it. I have no worries whatsoever. I think it's going to be good. I think it's going to be so good that its entire fan base is going to be based upon people. Like, it's going to get to that point where it's so popular that everyone who's watching it has never played the game.
Yeah.
Like, the amount of people who haven't played the game watch, you know what I mean?
Well, that's like Walking Dead. It's super popular. And
no one's read most the comics. Of the people,
like, there's a small percentage. I read the comics, but like, it's even a very The Witcher, small percentage.
Most of the people watching The Witcher have never played the game or read the book. You know,
yes.
Like my family, they love The Witcher. They have I walked in on my dad watching it, and I was like, oh man, like, this is based on one of my favorite games and books, and he was like, oh, I had no idea. he was just enjoying it for what it is. You know.
I don't know how much they're gonna love it after the. the recast. Yeah, no. They're gonna be like, what? Him? Anyways.
Who knows, man? Who knows? My parents are the type of people to watch like 28 seasons of some kind of telenovela. You know what I mean? Like, they'll watch anything.
All right, here's another thing following up on last week's release of the Callisto Protocol. I guess people, you know, one, it got very lukewarm reviews. People were kind of expecting this, like, Dead Space, kind of the next version of it, and people were kind of disappointed, pointing out to, like, you know, some of the combat kind of not being quite fleshed out, the enemy variation, the story being kind of paper thin, levels not being very diverse, a lot of different things that you couldn't really tell from watching the trailers, because the trailers look awesome, you know? But the other thing too was that there was major PC issues where there were stuttering.
Oh yeah.
Even on high performant graphics cards. And they did release a patch to fix that, but
yeah, I do love the excuse from the CEO.
Yeah.
To the exact quote is, he said it was a damn clerical error. This is exact quote as to how that happened. It was a damn clerical error.
Something about the wrong thing got patched or whatever.
Yeah.
It's funny. I'm looking at this one video. This guy
the wrong file was patched.
This guy has a 64 gigs of RAM i9 with the RTX 4090. And then Callisto Protocol was like stuttering all over the place. But apparently it's fixed now. A lot of these reviews I was kind of already on the fence of buying it. Not because I didn't think it was a good game or was going to be a good game. It was just like, I have so much, and this isn't exactly in my wheelhouse, you know? Now these reviews kind of like said, it's just not. A lot of
I think we're all more looking forward to the
Dead Space.
I'm blanking on it. Dead Space remake. That's going to be better. In the last podcast, I said I was like, I wasn't going to buy a specific game because Callisto Protocol was coming out the next day. I was like, I'm going to get that.
Yeah.
But then immediately after the podcast, I realized I was confusing Callisto Protocol with a very different game, Returnal. I thought it was Returnal that was coming out, which I'm really looking forward to its PC release. So I did not buy Callisto Protocol. I was thinking about it because this is actually my type. This is my type of game. I like this kind of stuff. Like, horror in games seem to be the only way I can handle horror. I can't handle it in movies and TV shows. But yeah, very bummed to see a lot of issues. Here's the thing. You got to make sure that your release of a game is good. That's the one thing we've seen to this day. If your day one release is bad, people will they will tear that game apart.
Yes.
You know what I mean? They will drag your name through the freaking trenches, man. Like, you have to make sure that your day one release of that game is perfect. Either that, or you have to have a day one patch ready before it even hits anybody's console or PC. You know what I mean? Mm. You got to be on that stuff. You can't have a damn clerical error, as the guy said. You got to be on that shit, man. Yeah. You know what I mean? Especially for new IP.
So it was, I think, the CEO that had posted that, and I think he got some backlash because it seemed like he was blaming, you know, the developers or the workers there, or the employees, and then people had backlash. Then he wrote back and said, no, you know, ultimately I'm responsible because I'm the CEO anyways.
So, yeah.
Because people were just upset. Because people were like, well, stop crunching then. You know, if you don't want these things to happen, stop crunching. But
I might pick up the game again in like a year from now or something, you know, when it's on sale and they've patched the crap out of it.
I think a lot of things turned me off because from what I heard and watched from reviews was like the level design is like very straightforward. Very linear. I mean, we're not talking like a Plague's Tale Requiem is linear too, but there is a little variation in kind of where you can, you know, go. Yeah.
To be fair, it's a spiritual successor to Dead Space. Dead Space is also very linear, you know.
Yeah.
Well, not like probably. I don't know if this game seems like it's more linear.
Yeah.
But yeah.
To me, I would love, you know, this type of game where it's like you can you know, explore a ship and kind of, you know, if you're blocked one way, you go to take care of another. That to me would be cool, but that's definitely
jump scares are scary if you know they're not coming. But if you're going down a creepy hallway and there's nowhere else for you to go, you know it's coming. You know what I mean? Yeah, no, I agree.
All right. Next thing, this one I'm excited for, which is Dead Island 2, the official gameplay trailer came out.
Oh, yeah.
Excited about this. I was a fan of the first one.
Mm-hmm.
People, you know, I remember it was the funny thing. I was the reverse of other people. So it came out with this trailer and no one had heard of Dead Island before. And people loved the trailer. And then when they got the game, they weren't that happy with it because it was different from what the trailer was like. I was opposite, where I thought the trailer was good, but I didn't think it was as great as people were making it out to be. And then when I played the game, I was like, yeah, this is right up my alley, because it was basically a zombie version of Fallout. It was an open world.
Had crafting involved and like a lot of things that I didn't expect. Yeah.
Yeah. So this,
I was on the opposite end. Well, not the opposite end, but similar to you. Like, I watched the trailer. I went to play the game expecting something different, like everybody else did.
Yeah.
But then I was greeted to something that I loved.
Yeah.
Instead, I was like, this is not what I was expecting. This is very different. And I loved it, man. You know?
So I'm very excited about this. And then what's making me even more pumped up is that it's set in LA. Like, I knew it was set kind of like...
No, Dennis. It's set in LA.
Yes.
It's set in LA.
So there's like a lot of like... So remember we talked about Fallout and, like, you know, one of the things that makes Fallout really cool in the open world is the locations and seeing historical monuments or iconic locations, you know, set in a post-apocalyptic world. And then this is the same thing. So they have the Man's Chinese Theater. It's called the TCL now. You see Warner Brothers. You see the Santa Monica Pier. There's just a lot of
I'll be honest, because it showed the Santa Monica Pier right off the bat. Uh-huh. I honestly thought I was looking at GTA 5 because it's like, because GTA 5 is also set in LA, mm-hmm. and it looked almost identical to the Santa Monica Pier in GTA LA. Mm-hmm. Was it GTA 5? You know what I mean? So for a second, I thought I was watching a GTA 5 trailer, and then the trailer happened and I knew it was Dead Island, and I'm very looking forward to it. I will say, doesn't look like high end next gen graphics, but I don't care. It doesn't look like bad graphics either. It looks very PS4 era. Mm-hmm. But it's like, I'm assuming it's because it's going to be very big open world. You know what I mean? And if you have a giant open world, like, I think you have more wiggle room with the graphics and stuff, you know?
Now, this is not coming to Game Pass, right? This is...
Yeah.
Okay. That's fine. I'm willing to purchase
April 28, 2023.
I'm willing to purchase it. The question is it coming out on PC as well?
Oh, dude, I mean, Dead Island released on PC.
Let me double check. I want to...
Like, day one. I mean, it would be weird for them to not, you know?
On a side note, so my lady, and by my lady, to the extent myself as well, have kind of got, like, World Cup fever, so she always wants to watch the World Cup now, right? Like,
I've also been watching it, yeah.
So because of that, I'm like, all right, I'm going to go... I never played it before. I downloaded FIFA 22 because that was available on Game Pass. So I downloaded it on my Xbox One. Dude, looks like shit. Looks like shit. It looks terrible.
Oh, yeah.
And then I download on my PC. It's like a world of difference. It looks so much better on my PC than it does on my Xbox One. I was like, yeah. I looked at the player models. I was like, man, this looks terrible. Like, these don't look like these players at all. And like... You know, I was like, what is up with this stuff? And then I download on PC. I'm like, okay, this is what it's supposed to look like, you know? Huh. So I see the first Dead Island on PC. I do not see it on Steam.
I mean, I played it on PC. That's how I know.
No. I'm talking about the second one. The first one is definitely on the PC. I see it.
Oh, yeah. No, I was going to say, and then Riptide as well played. I will, like, I like the new feature, like, the fact that you get zombie powers. Like, you can get affected by the zombies, and then you can use those, like, abilities. I'm sure there's got to be, like, a thing where you got to, like, heal yourself before using too much zombie powers, because otherwise, how do you stop yourself from becoming a zombie? There is that question. But that looked quite cool. You could just, like, claw people alive with your freaking zombie powers. That look quite cool. Oh, I'm really looking forward to this. I've been looking forward to this for years. I'm just happy it's happening, Dennis. God, a lot of the Dead Island fans, we just thought it was never going to happen, you know?
Yeah, there was there was one point, because remember they had that trail a long, long time ago, and there was this radio silence.
The dude running down, running down Santa Monica. It was such a good trailer. Oh, my gosh.
But, yeah, I thought it was dead for a long... Because the first one was... Mm-hmm. It wasn't a huge hit. It did okay, but it wasn't like...
I consider it a cult classic almost, you know?
Yeah. But it wasn't like a huge, huge hit. So it's like, wasn't sure if they'd make a second one. Then they announced the second one, and then they went radio silence for a while. That's fine.
That's soon as well. April 28th. That's really soon, man.
Yeah. Well, it got delayed too. Remember, it was supposed to come out before.
So. It's going to be on the Epic Games Store on PC.
That's why. That's why it's going on.
So it's going to be on the Epic Games Store. But it is, so it's on Xbox Series X, Xbox One, PS5, PS4. So it's going to be... I'm assuming that's also why the trailer we saw wasn't high-end graphics, because it has to run on a PS4 and Xbox One. Yeah. So that makes sense. I'm sure that there's got to be a way to up the graphics on PC or something. We'll see. Either way, I don't care. I'd play it even if it was pixelated. You know what I mean? It looks fun. I'm looking forward to that.
I'll
resemblances
probably get on
with
PC
Dying
then.
Light. Yeah, same. Couple of resemblances with Dying Light too, but open world zombie games are gonna have resemblances. You know, what it is.
Yeah.
LA. I'm excited for that. Yeah.
Yeah. For sure that. Doubled my excitement. All right. Next one. This one's a small thing. Elden Ring is gonna have a free Colosseum update. Yeah. It's not
disappointed in it.
It's not a DLC where it's like, oh, there's story or extra. All they're doing is, you know, they're opening up the Colosseum so you can battle. I mean, we already had duels and free for alls and all that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
They're just, you know, opening up the Colosseums at Limgrave, Lindell, and Caelid, so that...
Yeah. We were speculating for a while with DLC that it would involve these unused Colosseums. We've been speculating, God, when did Elden Ring come out? It was beginning of this year. Yeah, since the game came out, we've been speculating DLC based off of these Colosseums. And I was expecting it would be a thing of a boss showcase. You know what I mean? Where it's like, hey... These are the Colosseums, and they could just... Because they don't have to create lore, they don't have to create story, they can just create a new boss fight. Because that's what Elden Ring's really about, is those boss fights. You know what I mean?
It's
really
items, all about that. Items, boss fights,
and, boss fights, yeah.
and exploration, yes.
So I figured for the DLC, it would at least be like, hey, these Colosseum areas are each going to get their own, own boss. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. That would be a great DLC. And on the other end, I was also speculating that it would just be a place to do PvP. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Which, I guess that's what it is. You can do 1v1, 2v2, 3v3. Maybe they'll have a ranking system or something. I don't know. That could make it a bit more exciting. We know very little about it. We just know that there's a Colosseum and it's PvP. Well, it's a free DLC, so I can't complain.
Yeah.
You know?
We just were expecting, you know, one... When is a real DLC that's going to have real either story, mission, you know, content and, you know, and I'm willing to pay for it as long as it's reasonable.
I think
priced.
It'll still happen. Uh-huh. I think we'll still get paid DLC. You know what I mean? It'll be worth it. It might take a while because From Software will take their time on it. I love it because they asked Miyazaki, the creator, they were like, do you know what it is that made your game so big? And he was like, I try not to think about that because he's like, I don't know. And I try not to think about it, which is hilarious because I was like, I think it's obvious. We just said it, man. Exploration, bosses, items, mainly the exploration is what got that game so big, you know?
That was my favorite. That's why I haven't played Bloodborne yet or Sekiro Shadow Dies Twice or whatever. But because
Sekiro is very difficult, by the way. But Bloodborne,
I may like it, I may not.
Yeah.
But it is missing the exploration aspect that Elden Ring
it is. I'm glad that you played Elden Ring first, because those games can have the difficulty scaling is very getting into the combat is very difficult, whereas Elden Ring smooths you into that transition a lot more. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So you're already used to the gameplay, which is great.
Yeah. All right, my last thing, and I know you have a bunch of things too. So my last thing,
small things, yeah,
is Cyberpunk 2077's multiplayer mode was canceled after the kind of controversial start. You know, if Cyberpunk 2077, you know, had done, not that it didn't do well, it did very well. It just didn't meet the expectations, both I think sales wise and critically, that they were hoping for. So they kind of cancel it. I'll be honest with you. The combat isn't the greatest in Cyberpunk 2077. So for me, a multiplayer version wasn't something I was really
excited. I would have liked a
for.
Co-op. Like, I think co-op would have been better. That would have been better than a big multiplayer. Because if you say multiplayer for Cyberpunk, they're going to think Call of Duty. Sorry, I mean GTA style multiplayer. You know what I mean? And that can just be absolute hell. Like, a lot of the game mechanics wouldn't work in a multiplayer setting, to be honest. But it would be great in like a co-op setting, you know? If there was like some co-op missions or something, that'd be cool. To tie in with that, by the way, there is going to be a Game of the Year edition coming for Cyberpunk 2077. People were joking about it because it's like, what are they going to include, you know? But supposedly it's only going to be after the DLC coming out, the paid DLC, the Phantom Liberty expansion.
Yeah.
Coming out in 2023, and then literally I think right after that the Game of the Year edition is coming out. So if you don't own Cyberpunk, you can buy the Game of the Year edition that'll include the DLC, probably be at a cheaper price point, I'd imagine.
Yeah, I always think of Game of the Year editions to include like two or three DLCs,
like you picked up the Witcher game of the, you picked up the Witcher 3 game of the year, right? That's like four or five DLCs. That's like so much DLC. You know what I mean? Yeah. It's like a whole extra game's worth of DLC, to be honest.
Yeah.
Blood and Wine expansion's great. I can't wait for you to get to that. We're just going to plow through.
It's going to be a while. Yeah, so that's the last one for me. So why don't you go on with yours?
Yeah, I'm going to blast through these because my power is going to get cut in about 13 minutes because I live in a country that never has electricity. First of all, I know you like this. How could you forget about this? Sifu live action adaptation with John Wick creator Derek Kolstad. It's a match made in heaven, dude. Sifu would like anything in the John Wick direction with Sifu. It works. I mean, like the guys that made John Wick, they essentially created their own kung fu called gun fu, where they're like, you're doing kung fu with a gun. So it's like they're already halfway there, you know? Like they know how to like kind of film fast paced kung fu scenes.
Yeah.
So I feel like they could do a really, really good job with this. It's gonna be sick. I don't think we know much about it besides the fact that besides the fact that we know that Derek Kolstad, the creator of John Wick, is doing it. It's going to be a feature. It's going to be a film. Thank God it's not a series. It's going to be a movie, which is exactly what it should be.
Yeah.
Kolstad is adapting the script and he will produce it alongside Story Kitchen's Dimitri M. Johnson, a bunch of other people that I don't really know, to be honest. But I'm looking forward to that. That's a perfect game to movie adaptation. You know what I mean? Like, there's no sci-fi or like, there's nothing like heavy budget wise, you know what I mean? Like, I think they could do a really good job with that. Something I'm really excited about is we saw some more gameplay footage for Project L, which is Riot's fighting game. And by fighting game, I mean like Mortal Kombat, Street Fighter, you know, like not 2D, but you know what I mean? Like, I'm sure there's a word for that type of view, but a fighting game, which I'm looking forward to, but it's specifically with League of Legends characters. So it's like all the League of Legends characters, but it's going to be in a fighting game. Or if you haven't played League of Legends and you're a fan of the Arcane series, a lot of the characters from Arcane are in the fighting game as well, like Echo and Jinx. And it's coming together really, really nicely. There was a video they released out on Twitter, like a game dev kind of update on what's going on about it. Still no news on when it's going to be released or anything, but I'm really looking forward to that. And I respect Riot's hustle to branch out into things like TV shows, different types of games. They started with League of Legends, and then they made Valorant, which I love. I'm addicted to that. They went from MOBA to first-person shooter, tactical. Then they made Arcane, the series. And then they made a turn-based game. I'm blanking on the name now, but I played the crap out of it on my Nintendo Switch. Then they even released like a platformer, almost mobile type game about Heimerdinger. So I respect Riot's grind to like branch out into all these places. I'm looking forward to the fighting game as well. that is going to be cool. I'm currently rewatching Arcane with a friend.
Oh, nice.
And she's hooked.
Oh yeah.
Like hooked. It's fantastic. Hooked. Oh yeah. It's so good. Like I feel bad for her because we're watching it together and she has to wait until we hang out again to see it. And she's like having like withdrawals of not being able to see Arcane. So that's really cool. And then I think we mentioned this in the beginning, but Valve is giving away almost 200 Steam Decks at the Game Awards to celebrate. Yeah, they're giving out Steam Decks to a handful of lucky Game Awards viewers. Every minute of the Game Awards, Valve will give out one 512 gigabyte Steam Deck, adding up to nearly 200 Steam Decks. I'm trying to like... yeah, I'm not eligible. You're right, Dennis. You nailed it. So US, Canada, UK, and EU... So literally everybody except for me in Africa here, you know. But yeah. So if you're in America or Canada or the UK or in the EU, I hope you have to register before the time and then you could possibly get one. So definitely look into that. I'm going to skip this one because it's not that good. So Nintendo finally put out a statement regarding the Smash World Tour cancellation, which I briefly spoke about in the last podcast. Nintendo is receiving a lot of backlash about that. But they finally put out a full statement. It is pretty big. Just to give you guys a quote, any partner that we grant a license to has to meet the high standards we require when it comes to the health and safety of our fans. So that being said, it's most likely that the World Tour, or more well known as like the World Championships, didn't meet the standards of Nintendo because they were partnered with Nintendo. I think it was one of the only like competitions that were partnered with Nintendo. It's a very lengthy statement. I don't have the time for it right now because my power is going to go out. But yeah, referring to Pokemon Scarlet and Violet, which people are loving, but it did have some serious tech problems in the beginning.
Yeah. For a game that's not very resource intensive.
Yeah, well, like the open world did push it to the boundaries. I think the open world is too big, maybe, because it's like The Legend of Zelda Breath of the Wild runs fine, smooth, you know what I mean? But they are putting out a patch, version 1.1.0, and they promised to take tech problems a lot more seriously in the future, because previously they never had, you know what I mean? To be fair, they never have had like tech problems with their games or their IP, because they're usually they're not resource intensive, you know what I mean? I'm still going to buy the game. Thank God there's going to be a patch smoothing it out. And this is something about like that I like don't like about like big groups of fans, but it is what it is. So the Game Awards, as we know, is coming up. We're going to talk about it and review it when it comes out. But there's the fan voted category, right? The players voice award.
Yes.
And currently it's Genshin Impact and Sonic Frontiers are leading it by like a mile.
Beating God of War Ragnarok and Elden Ring. This is why I like fan voting. That's why people always talk about like, why don't people fan vote for like the Oscars? It's like, no, because you guys are going to make shit choices.
Exactly. Like, look, I'm
not saying those games are shit. What I'm saying is,
yeah,
you got like it's more of the effort of the fan base versus an actual collection of what people actually are voting for. You know what I mean? It's a campaign and a statement from the fan base versus the actual quality of the games. I'm not saying those games are shit. But what I'm saying is, of course, it's not based on any type of critical.
You run the risk of having meme answers and jokes. Yeah, exactly. You know what I mean? Like people are gonna vote for things that they don't even think are the game of the year. You know what I mean? They'll just joke that like if there was a game about pooping, they'd be like, "Oh, this is hilarious." Millions of people are gonna vote for this game about pooping to win. You know what I mean? That's just the way it is.
Or just the Oscars. I don't remember like they had like they weren't actual Oscar awards. They were just like mentions. They were like, "Oh, the scene of the year or whatever," and it was all like, and it was everything that won was all like Justice League. DC stuff because the fan base was energized to vote for it, and then that's it. So
I mean, look, Genshin Impact is currently leading the votes with 53%. Keep in mind, God of War Ragnarok is 5% of the votes right now. 5%. Think about that. Stray's got 1%. Yeah. Elden Ring's got 8%. Oh. And then Sonic Frontiers has got 33%. That's the one that surprises me the most, because I was expecting the Genshin Impact to win this category, because it does have the most dedicated fan base. And it's interesting to get like Game of the Year for that, because it's like the game's been out for years. And they've made a few updates and changes, but it's not really that different from when it first... It's a great game. I've played it. Hell, I've spent money on the loot boxes. But like, what about it is different that makes it Game of the Year quality this year instead of last year or the year before that? You know what I mean? Anyways, but yeah, hardcore fan base. It doesn't look like things are going to change, so they're obviously going to win, like by a landslide.
Yeah, there's only like 2 days left or whatever. One day. Yeah, no,
they're going to win by a landslide. Yeah. But that is all I have. Unfortunately, I got to get going because I got no electricity. But cool. Yeah, it is what it is. We'll see you guys soon, regardless.
Yeah. And I haven't, like I said, I haven't been playing that many games. I've been busy lately. When's FIFA.
When's Game Awards up again?
It's Game Awards tomorrow night.
Tomorrow night, yeah. Okay, yeah. We'll definitely do a video afterwards. If it was at an earlier time, I'd say we could do a live reaction, but I'm going to be very much asleep.
It will be my night, your morning.
Yeah, it's like my early morning, though.
Yeah.
So we'll do a review afterwards. Yeah. Probably your next morning. Probably. Yeah.
All right, cool. You guys can make sure to subscribe to the YouTube channel, youtube.com/Revog. Subscribe to our podcast feed, which is on anchor.fm and Spotify. You can follow me on Twitter at ThinkHero, Instagram Dennis.tzng. And Josh, where can people find you?
You guys can find me on Twitch at It's Thespis, all lowercase. There should be a link in the description below. Once I get to 100 followers, I will go back to daily streaming. And you guys can also find me in the Revog Discord channel. I'm always there to talk. Love talking about games, or even if you guys want to play some games sometime.
All right, cool. Until next time, see you guys later.
Later.